Please, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes about our God of joy. Psalm 30. Many years ago, we were expecting our second child, which would be Joy Bell. I had just finished school and was coming to be on staff at a church here in Memphis, Tennessee. And we're excited about it. Debbie, we had Joshua, and she was great with child, with Joy Bell. We were gambling that she could fly into Memphis. They'd let her on the plane. And I had some loose ends to tie up. I made sure before I left town, everybody that I owed, and it was a bunch of them, let me tell you, I paid off. I did not want to leave town and leave debt behind. And I was wrapping up some things that as far as furniture, I rented a little U-Haul, and I put everything I could in that and tied the couch on top of the U-Haul. Looked like the Beverly Hillbillies coming back. You know, a country boy will survive, though. And I drove back, and I wasn't here 3 days that she went into labor. And we had not really gotten acquainted with the doctor, and a lot of loose ends had not taken place. I asked the pastor if we could stay until the baby was born, and he was pretty flagrant about he wanted us to come just right away. So we did. And we went to the hospital, and the baby was going to be breached, and it's going to be an emergency C-section. On that morning, most of our church had gone to Founders Day at the Bill Rice Ranch, and it was just, as it has been so often, just the two of us. And I remember being in a little cubicle, little waiting room, waiting to hear, and about 6:30 that morning, the nurse came through the door with Joy Bell. And she was, they brought her to me in that room. And Joy, I held you in my arms. And I looked at your beautiful hands. They looked like your mother's. And we had gone through a real trial. And Debbie was trying and not to have the baby, and was waiting for the doctors to do the C-section. And I've given all of my children life verses when they were born. And Psalm 30, verse 5 is Joy Bells. It says the first part, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. But weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And I said, we're going to name her Deborah Joy. And what a joy she's been to us all our life. Now, her name's Deborah Joy, but she got her Joy Bell in the nursery. She had colic the first 6 months of her life, and if she was awake, she was screaming. She was a-hollering, let me tell you. I came in one day, and I got the big Tonka trucks out. You remember the Tonka trucks? They were still. And you hit a kid with that in the nursery, he knows it, let me tell you. And I'd get down, and I'd say, "Hey, buddy, look out, I'm coming through." And I'd play with Josh. And she came to me one day, and she said, "I just need to talk with you about something." That's never good. You know, when they want to talk to you, it's usually not, you know, "Would you please pick your clothes up? I think you're eating too much." It's not that. And she says, "I just don't think that you love Joy." And I said, "Why would you say that?" She said, "Because you never pick her up. You never do. You're always on the floor with Josh." And I said, "Lady, when that child is asleep, I don't want to disturb her." I'm not making this up. I could just step over the threshold of her bedroom to check in on her, and she'd startle like that. And she would be just inconsolable, absolutely impossible. And she would give those nursery workers, boy, she'd give them a run for their money. And they're the ones who said, when she was just an infant, "Well, the Joy Bells are ringing." And that's where she got her name. But her verse is, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, in this song of praise, David is expressed his thanks to God for the changes God sent into his life. And life is always moving, always changing. Life is never the same. I'm not big on change. I have to tell you that. I wish I were, but I'm not. Debbie says that I'm in a rut. I call it a routine. I get up in the morning. I get black coffee. I get a Bible, usually a black Bible. I have a routine that I like, but God mixes us up. God shakes us up every once in a while. We have spoken in the past why he's done that. But we see that the lifting up is greatly praised here. In verse 1 of this text, or this psalm rather, he says, I will extol thee. To extol is to lift up to great praise, O Lord. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 4, he says, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Down to verse 11 and 12, he speaks and says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that may glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So David, he's expressing thanks to God for the changes that he's brought into his life. And I just want to just take a minute tonight and tell you, whatever your situation is, God can change it that quick. God can change it. It may seem to be unbearable. Sometimes it may seem to be impossible. One night in the hospital in Memphis, I was in great misery. And I called my dear friend, Mike Allison. And I called, he answered the phone. And I said, Mike, it's worse than I ever dreamed. It's unbearable. But tonight it seems impossible. Please pray for me. You know, it's wonderful to have people who pray for you. And there are people who will pray for you in your situation. Early in the morning, Brother Rick House came by at 3:20 a.m. in the morning and picked us up to take us to the hospital. And as we were going to the hospital, my phone started texting. I got a text from Japan. I got a text from China. I got a text from some other foreign country. And then different people. And I thought, what a blessed man I am to have people praying for me in Japan, have people praying for me in China, have people praying for me in foreign countries and here across our country. Now, understand this. God can make the difference. We don't need to quit. We don't need to stop. God can make the difference. You know, you've heard me say it too many times probably, but he parts the Red Sea. God, he makes the axe head swim. God, he makes the sun stand still. God can make a difference. And in this short psalm, David reminds us of three areas that God can change and changed in his life. Notice, first of all, David reminds us that God can change our sickness to health. He says in verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. And David was very sick. He was maybe nigh to death. He says, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Now you say, what does that mean? I think there would be people who would dance on David's grave if he died. And I think if you live for God and serve God and you're a man after God's own heart, there's folks that wouldn't spit on you if you're on fire, and that they'd dance on your grave if you died. He says, O Lord, my God, here again, as I spoke this morning of my shepherd, David often says, my God. It's a wonderful thing that David's God is my God as well. He says, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Now, we don't know what David's plight was. We don't know what sickness he had, but it had laid him flat. I'm sure it was COVID-19 because everything is. And David had COVID-19 before anybody was cool. And in verse 3 it says, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. I mean, he was nigh unto death. Thou hast kept me alive. He was barely living, that I should not go down to the pit. Now, God had healed David and lifted him up from the grave. His sickness possibly was a discipline from God for David's pride. David speaks about it in verse 6. He said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. I think David got a little bit haughty there, don't you? I think David got a little bit proud there, don't you? You know, I think that when we go through issues, especially I think of issues of health, I think we should look at our spirit and are we prideful or are we a humble people? The Bible tells us to humble yourself before the Lord. I've often used that verse and I thought, how do we humble ourselves before the Lord? Do we go into the living room or the dining or the bedroom and look into the dresser mirror and look at ourselves and say, you're just really ignorant and you're ugly too. What are you doing, honey? I'm humbling myself before the Lord. That's not what that means. This is what it means. When you're going through the darkness and you're going through the difficulty, say, yes, Lord, have your way. I'm going to humble myself and I'll take this journey. And Lord, I pray that you will. He tells us if we humble ourselves, he'll exalt us later. And we see here, David, perhaps it was because of some sin. His sickness was a discipline from God because he was prideful. He was self-sufficient. Listen, when we get pride, God hates pride. And when we get self-sufficient, when we say, I shall not be moved, when we see ourselves in our prosperity and we feel that, man, we're important and we're an unmovable and the world cannot rotate without us, God comes in and works in our life. I like verse 7. It says, Lord, thou hast favored, it says, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. He had a mountain in his life. You ever feel like you're climbing up a mountain? Trying to get through that mountain, trying to get over that mountain? You ever feel like that you just got a mountain in your life? You just don't know if you ever get by it? Let me tell you something. God puts the mountains there in our lives for good purposes. And it stands strong. David couldn't do anything with it. Thou didst hide thy face. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's the worst thing than a mountain. When you cry out to God, he doesn't seem to be there. And I was troubled. Perhaps David was being corrected. Perhaps it was his connection with the numbering of the people. David committed adultery, as you know, with Bathsheba. David murdered Uriah, her husband. And then David numbered the people. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, and God was displeased with this thing, the numbering of the people is what it's talking about. Therefore, he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away thy iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David reminds us that God can change things. God can change our sickness into health. And maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with something physically, some sickness, or maybe you're the caretaker of someone who's struggling with someone with sickness or needs help. Listen to me, my friend. Our hope is in the Lord. He's the one who can change. He changes our sickness into health. Not only that, but notice he changes our weeping into joy. In verse 4, he says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. Now, I was talking with Pastor Scott Hanks last week, and we were chatting, and he said, I was going to preach this Wednesday night. Matter of fact, I got it Wednesday morning. I felt well. And I thought, man, I'm excited about preaching this message on Wednesday night. And I thought, you know, I better call someone and have them on deck just in case. I had a 1:45 meeting at the lift to be assessed about just how broken I am. So I called Brother Martis. I said, I don't think I'm going to need you. I think I'm going to be there. But I don't want to call you. You know, I don't want to call you 10 minutes before the service. Ben Miller's the only one I do that with. And I respect Brother Martis too much. I'll call Ben. There is something about, what's the Bible say about being ready all the time? What's the passage? Instant in season, out of season. That's right. And but I'm trying not to do that. But I told Brother Martis, I don't think I'll need you. I think I'll be there. But I came back from the lift, and I mean, I just did not have any gas left. And I called, and Debbie, she said, are you not going to, I want to hear you preach tonight. And I told her, I said, honey, I can't tonight. And I just don't want to push it. And Brother Martis gave that great message on Jesus I was thankful for. Understand this. He changes us. He makes the difference. He can change our sickness to health, but he can change our weeping to joy. As we talked about, I was talking to Pastor Hanks. He called to see how I was doing. And he said, I told him I'm preaching tonight. He said, well, I'll look. He said, he pulls up the live stream. He listens to the messages often. He said, what are you preaching from? I said, I'm preaching from Psalm 30. And he said, I just read Psalm 30. And just did some study. I said, good. Tell me what you got. And any good preacher would do that, right? And I said, I've got four pages here, but you tell me what you got. And he said, well, you know that word moment in verse 5. For his anger endureth for a moment. He says the word there means the time of winking. That's God's anger for us. I'm not God. I can be angry at you for 10 years. But not God. It says, in his favor is life. We need to be in the favor of God. We don't need to lose his favor. Weeping may endure for a night. Now, this is important. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There is a contrast between God's temporary anger and God's gift of lasting joy. Between weeping and joy, and between the night and the morning, there's a great contrast here that we see. And things may seem dark to you now. They may seem impossible. They may seem incredible. There may be some sorrow in your life, and you're weeping over it, and you wish it wasn't so. But wait for his morning to dawn, because it's coming. His dawn comes through the night, through the darkest part. And when God steps into the room, he can change everything in a hurry. When I was in the rehab, you know, it's kind of funny. But there's a lady that David and I have kind of gotten friendly with at the bank. And anytime we go there, she always wants to talk to us for a good while. And I think about all these people behind us, but they don't, you know, she doesn't care. She just talks to us. And Debbie's making the bank deposits, and she's taking care of business for us. And I'm at the West Tennessee Rehab Hospital, and she finally said, I don't see your husband hasn't been with you the last few times. And she said, well, he's in rehab. And she went, really? She said, yes, he had back surgery. Although I have a pharmacy at my house right now. You understand that, don't you? Now, why do people think rehab and go there immediately? Things, Rhonda, you're laughing too hard at that. And things may seem dark, but when God steps into the room, visiting hours are over at 7, and I'd hold Debbie's hand and I'd say, they won't kick you out. Just stay a little bit longer. But she's a rule keeper. And she says, honey, I don't want to break the rules. I said, well, go ahead, just break my heart. She would leave on Wednesdays and be here in time for the service. And as some of you know, the night hours would come. I used to dread to see the sun starting to set. And from 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock was miserable. And I had learned and had gotten stronger to where I could get up and sit up on the side of my bed. And I would sit up on the side. We had these curtains that would pull down but there was parking lot lights that would bother me at night, so that it had a shade that was dark where the light could not shine through. But the nurse would come in with my tray of that delicious Jell-O and other things. And she would come in and she said, "Can I do anything for you?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Would you please raise the curtain? I need to see the sun." And I want you to know that if you're here tonight and you're going through a dark patch in your marriage, a dark patch with your children or child, a dark patch at your workplace, you're in a dark area, listen to me, Lord will usher in quickly. And when the light would come through my room, my whole disposition would change. Lastly, let me say that David, he reminds us that God, he can change our sickness to health. He can change our weeping to joy. By the way, let me share this with you. In John, it's one of my favorite verses. I claim it every day. John 16, verse 20 says, "Verily," Jesus says, "verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And I pray every day. I've asked God these things. I say, "Lord, help me to be calm. Lord, help me to be kind. Lord, help me to be compassionate." And then I asked him to turn my sorrows into joy. He can do it. Lastly, notice he tells us that God can turn our mourning into singing. He says in verse 8 through 12, "I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? What good is my death? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that may glory sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." David says, not only does God turn our sickness into health and our weeping to joy, but he takes our mourning and turns it into singing. Now let me say this to you. There is a time to mourn, Solomon says. I'm surprised that people who can just so quickly get over things and just so quickly continue on. David humbled himself before God. He's begging for God's help. He's begging for God's mercy. And when God saw that the discipline had done its work, he healed David and forgave his sins. Now, David changed clothes. He picked up his harp. He began to sing praises to the Lord. Now listen to me. No matter how dark the night, the dawn will come. No matter how heavy your heart, one day God will put a song in your heart. Wait patiently and trust the Lord. Verse 5 says, "His favor is for life." I was reading this past week, and I was reading about the missionary, Amy Carmichael. And I've read a lot of missionary novels and biologies and books about their life, biographies. And I was reading about Amy Carmichael. She was born in a small village in Ireland in 1867. She was the oldest of seven children. Her parents were fine and devout Christians. She had a great nerve issue she suffered from. And because of this, it would cause her to be in the bed she would be weak and she would ache with great pain. Now, I don't know if you've ever had nerve pain, but if you've had nerve pain, there's like, it's like nothing else. I've had broken bones. I've had a lot of different things, but it's like it just never goes away. And she would be often in the bed for weeks with this nerve pain. In 1887, she heard Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, speak. And she was convinced that God had called her to do missionary work. So she moved to London, and there she lived in a training house for women. And Amy, she was ready to sail to Asia, but it was determined that her health was too unstable and she was unfit to do so. So she postponed her mission career and what she felt like God would have her to do, and decided to join the Church Missionary Society to be a blessing there. But eventually, Amy Carmichael travels to Japan. She's there for 15 months, and she's so sick with this nerve condition. And when I mean nerve, I'm not talking about she was nervous like a breakdown. I'm talking about the nerve pain itself. And she had a brief period there, but after that, the Lord gives her clarity, and she goes to India for a lifelong vocation for God. Carmichael's most notable work was that among girls and young women. Families in India who needed money or who were unhappy with a daughter would sell them to the temple. And it was ungodly and evil customs that would happen there. Amy Carmichael was their refuge. She was the strong tower for them. Carmichael, she has these great number of young women that she's training and she's teaching, she's sharing God's word with. And she becomes known and somewhat understood over across into England. And a young lady who's considering the missionary wrote to her and asked her this question: what is missionary life like? And Amy Carmichael wrote back and said, missionary life is simply a chance to die. As I read many other things about her, in 1931, she had a fall that severely injured her. She was bedridden for the remainder of the next two decades. But in those two decades, she wrote 16 books. And in this book, she makes a comment on Psalm 30, verse 5. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And she says this: joys are always on the way to us. They are always traveling to us through the darkest of the night. There is never a night when they're not coming. I think Amy Carmichael knew a little bit about darkness and joy. You see, no matter how dark the night, dawn will come. I watched that big clock up on my room in rehab, and I'd see the 8 o'clock hour coming. And I would say out loud, oh no, it's almost 8. And all types of things would take place. But when the nurse would come in and would raise that curtain, the light came in. No matter how heavy your heart, one day you'll sing a song. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and that joy travels to us through the darkness of night. God's people said, let's stand. Father, I thank you for doing a work in my heart with this passage. And I pray that you'll do a work in all of our hearts. Lord, we have dedicated, committed, consecrated people here tonight. I know that. We have young couples that have the world by the tail. They bought a house. They're madly in love with each other. They have precious children. They're working and making good money. And they have nothing to fret about tonight. But we all have a darkness that will be there. And some of us may live in darkness for a long period of time before we see light. But we do know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we do know that that joy travels through the darkest of nights. Help us to go deeper in our faith. Help us, Lord, to develop a more greater, mature Christian. I think of people who I've preached to tonight, some who have health issues, and it seems like there's no end in sight, but you're the God that can change our sickness into health. I think of people who are weeping. There's been a rift. There's been a break. The devil's gotten in. Sin's taken place. And because of that, there's great sorrow and there's weeping. But you're the God that changes our weeping into joy. And I think of some of our people who mourn the loss of a loved one that they'll have to wait to glory to see again. But God, you can take our mourning and turn it into singing. David said that you've turned for me my mourning into dancing. I've put off my sackcloth and you've girded me with gladness. God, give us the understanding that you gave Amy Carmichael. And her great pain and agony, her injury, bedridden for 20 years, still she was consecrated and continued to serve you greatly in greatly, great ways. Lord, may we endure the night. May we endure the weeping, because joy does come in the morning. In thy name I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Don't wait. If you're struggling with some issue, come to the Lord. Come to the God who makes the difference. David reminds us that God changes things, and he can change your situation. Come now.